Welcome today to North Church. I'm so glad that you're joining us, whether you're in Guthrie or Oklahoma City or online. I am thrilled that you are listening in and ready for God's Word today. You know, we're talking about the next series, Stories. I just want to lay out a little bit of a selfish promo in regards to that. I am thoroughly excited about this new, fresh series that we're doing. In fact, we have finished three of those filmings. The one that we're going to be showing first is the story of David Greene, which is an amazing story of God's miraculous power and what he does for people who faithfully obey him. But we're going to be telling that story. It's amazing. Then, of course, Kratton Johnson, amazing story. And then also Lee Strobel. We've already filmed those three. Lee Strobel is one of the leading apologetics in the world. He's phenomenal. As a matter of fact, I was just in awe the hour that I sat with him and hearing him talk and the interview and all that went on with that. It's just truly amazing. So make your plans now to invite people, because these are going to be opportunities for you to reach out to some of your friends, whether they're followers of Christ or maybe they are on the verge or maybe they're far from Christ. It is going to speak life. It's going to speak hope to them. And so make sure to be planting those seeds, inviting people today, okay? Turn with me today in God's Word to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, one of my favorite stories in the Word of God. We're going to be reading most of this chapter, not all of it, but we're going to be diving into it today in regards to this passage under the series we're calling Protected. Protected is simply this: we believe, here's the emphasis of the series, is that we believe that God's principles found in God's Word and that God's people are there not to punish us, but to protect us. Come on. Keep us from dumb decisions. Come on, when we make hard decisions or we're going through a difficult time in life, to help us through those times in life, okay? Each week I've been talking about different topics regarding to that. I talked about the church. I talked about obedience to Christ and to authorities in our life this past week. And so this week, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness, okay? And the power of forgiveness to protect you and to protect me. You believe that? Come on. First off, there is forgiveness that protects us eternally. Okay, our sins have pushed us away from God, but it's the forgiveness of God that has brought us back in relationship with Him. And then secondly, our obligation or need to forgive others. And sometimes when we think of that, we think that if I forgive them, I'm doing them a favor. No, no, no. The truth of the matter is, when you forgive others, you're doing yourself a favor. Okay, forgiveness. So, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Let's start with verse number 1. One day, David asked, "Is there anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "Yes, I am, sir," Ziba replied. The king then asked him, "Is anyone still alive in Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them." Ziba replied, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. "In Lodabar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Maker, son of Amiel." So David sent for him and brought him from Maker's home. His name was Mephibosheth. Look at the person next to you and say Mephibosheth. Say it three times real fast and see how that comes out. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low to the ground in deep respect. David said, "Greetings, Mephibosheth." Mephibosheth replied, "I am your servant." "Don't be afraid," David said. "I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will eat here with me at the king's table." Mephibosheth bowed respectfully and exclaimed, "Who is your servant that you should show such kindness to a dead dog like me?" To a dead dog like me. Father, we thank you for your word. God, all of us need forgiveness. All of us need to forgive. And I ask that you help us to see clearly the weight of this issue and obey what you have for us today so that we can be free in Jesus' name. And everyone said a big amen, amen, amen. This message today can change your life in some huge ways. Matter of fact, generations to come if you let, okay? I was thinking about a few years ago, matter of fact, going back almost 15 years ago to be exact, was the first time I really got to be with and get to know three certain individuals in our church. And you ever meet these young people or older people that they're kind of pranksters? Anybody? Pranksters? Well, there's these three that have been around the church for many years that really are all out pranksters. I mean, all the time. You're kind of like, after you get to know them, you're always looking, you keep an eye on them. But when I first met them, I really didn't know that about them, okay? And these three individuals is Jesse, Lindsay, and Betsy. Jesse ended up becoming one of our elders in the church, and he's a doctor now. And that's, you know, it makes you leery going to him as a doctor because of his prank, you know, like, hey, can I trust him now? You know, what's he going to do? Actually, he's my family doctor. But 15 years ago, he was a college student. And I remember the first time I met him because spent some time with him. We went out to eat at Hideaway Pizza after one of our experiences, and we're there eating and stuff. It was a cold winter day. Everybody had these jackets they put on. So when you got there, you take your jackets off, put them on the back of the chair. You sit there. We hung out for about an hour to hour and a half. When we're getting ready to leave, everybody puts on their jackets, and all this clanging begins to happen. What they have done is they have some way rounded up like all the silverware in Hideaway Pizza and put it in everybody's pockets. It's in your coat pockets. It's in your inner pockets. It's in everybody's jacket. We still to this day don't know how they did it without us noticing. But they made sure they put silverware. And that's the top that I'm talking about. These three amigos, this is what I'm talking about with Jesse, Betsy, and Lindsay. Well, let me take it a little further. A few years pass. I'm preaching a message. And I preach this message on forgiveness. And when I preach this message on forgiveness, I'm talking about the weight of unforgiveness. And so I have this backpack that I put on my strap on me. And I said, this is like unforgiveness. And I'm walking around this backpack. And I'm saying, this is like you're just carrying this weight around, this excessive load that you don't have to carry. And then throughout my message, I would take something and I would slide it in my backpack, weight, like a brick. And I'd put that brick in and it would just add weight to me. And I continue to preach. And after a little bit, I'd add some other unforgiveness. And it would just continue to weigh me down. I talked about how that weighs you down. And you can't really begin to experience all that God and the freedom because you're weighed down with unforgiveness. So I preach that first experience. And then I get ready for the second experience. And I get back up and I start preaching the second experience. What I did not know is that those three individuals kind of got their brains together. And in between experiences, one of them took one of their cell phones up and placed it inside the bag in a hidden little area inside the bag. And so in the next experience, I get up and I am preaching away, doing the same thing. And right when it's hot and heavy and the Holy Spirit is fallen and people's lives are being changed, a phone goes off. Okay, I have some pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is just that. I don't like for phones to be going off while I'm speaking. And so I'm sitting here speaking to the crowd, and that phone's going off, and I'm thinking, I'm not saying it, but I'm thinking, somebody turn your phone off. Because a lot of times, people will have their phone go off, but then they'll immediately grab and turn it off. But nobody is moving. So I walk to the other side. Nobody's moving. Then I realize this phone is following me around. We kicked them out of the church. No. It was a good prank. Don't ever do that again, though, anybody. But that it was a good prank. But you see, unforgiveness will keep following you around. Just like that ringing, I can move from one place, location to the next location. You can change cities. You can change marriages. You can change jobs. You can change friendships. But you can't run from unforgiveness. unforgiveness will keep tracking you down and keep ringing in your ears. And you can look out and blame it on somebody else and say, it's their fault, turn that thing off. And you can begin to point fingers at other people, but the truth of the matter is you're the one that's carrying the load of unforgiveness. Today I want to talk to you about unforgiveness, okay? In this story of David and Mephibosheth, it's a beautiful story of God's grace, and it speaks to us two things. Come on. This storyline, we learn two important lessons. Number one is this. Okay, our need for God's forgiveness and that God has provided forgiveness for us. And then secondly, our obligation to forgive others just as we've been forgiven. Those are the two overriding pictures that we get in this narrative, this story. God's forgiven us, and we have an obligation to forgive others. Now let's go and look at just how God's forgiven us. This story is a beautiful story. First off, Mephibosheth. Look at his name. His name means out of the mouth of shame. Out of the mouth of shame. Oh, this is so good. Okay, Mephibosheth is of the lineage of King Saul. David is now the new king. First off, basically a new king would obliterate any other old family members that would be in line to the old throne. Okay, Mephibosheth, out of the mouth of shame, speaks to several things. One, it speaks to the shame of his father and grandfather, or his grandfather, and what had been done in Israel, and how that really he did not honor God through obedience to God. It also speaks to his crippledness, because the scripture says the day that Saul died and Jonathan died and most of his relatives died in the war against the Philistines is that his nurse heard about that and grabbed him, began to run with him, and she fell and dropped Mephibosheth at 5 years of age, and the scripture says that he was crippled in both feet. It speaks to fallen humanity. It speaks to our brokenness. It speaks to our need. The next word is Lodabar that you saw in the scripture. Okay? Lodabar is where Mephibosheth went. Lodabar means no pasture, a place of wandering, a place of desert. And this is key to note because, you see, when man fell in the Garden of Eden, they were kicked out. They were kicked out into the barrenness of this world. We left the Garden of Perfection into something that was death, pain, suffering. And you see, issues of unforgiveness speak to that. It's a place of Lodabar. When you're carrying unforgiveness, it's a place of no pasture, of wandering, of desert life. You can't flourish the way God wants you to flourish. You can't be all that God wants you to be. And then look at Jonathan. Jonathan's mentioned in there. Jonathan means gift from God. Matter of fact, Jonathan was a gift to David, which parallels in regards to spiritually what Jesus was to God. It was God's gift. For God so loved the world that he gave, what? The perfect gift, his own son. And David means heart from God. A man after God's own heart. David means heart of God. And so you have in this story a beautiful picture that is symbolic of what was to come. Talked about type and shadows last week. So it's a type and shadow of what God would do through Jesus Christ. Us being a Mephibosheth. Us being a place of wandering. Us doing this. Jesus being the gift of God that would give to us. And that God the Father would do for us because of what Jesus did on the cross. Forgive us. Okay, now think about this for a second. The scripture says early on there that David says, for Jonathan's sake, I want you to find anyone of the house of Saul, and I want to forgive them. Do you realize the Bible says that for Christ's sake, God forgave us? That we use that term for Christ's sake. Okay, have you ever heard people use the term for Christ's sake? Are they usually using it to give praise and honor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? No, they're not. They say for Christ's sake. And usually it's out of anger, out of frustration, out of a sense of, it's a slang. It could be viewed as a cuss word. It could be used in a way, because we say, for Christ's sake, why did, you know, that is how it's used. Okay? But in the scripture, for Christ's sake is used often. That's why we gotta be careful with how we say and the things we say, because here's what the word says in regards to what God said in regards to forgiveness to us. In Ephesians chapter number 4, look at it on the screen. It says this, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, say it with me, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake has forgiven you. So here's my call. My title of my message is, for Christ's sake, receive forgiveness and then forgive others who have hurt you. Forgive others who have disappointed you. For Christ's sake. Not for your sake. Not for their benefit. For the sake of Christ. Be a person that forgives. So let me talk about you. Okay, your obligation. And what forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. So first off, what forgiveness is not. Okay, it's key to note this. I can't cover everything, but I'm going to cover a few things. First off, forgiveness is not weakness. It is not weakness. Far from it. Let me just say a few other things, too, in regards to that. It's not pretending like nothing happened. That's not pretending like anything happened. That's not the point of it. It's not being a benefit to them. It's a benefit for you. And it is not weakness. Matter of fact, some of the most horrific things that I've seen done to people, I have seen individuals turn around and forgive some things that I'm thinking, how can they do that? They cannot do it outside of the strength and the power of God Almighty. There's people in this church that have had their closest family members murdered. And the person that murdered them has been put into prison for life. Yet they would go to the prison and look them in the face and love on them and send them letters of encouragement and scripture. Because God showed them that they must forgive even the grievous of sins. I've seen adultery and pain of that. And I've seen individuals not forgive, and I've seen people forgive. And when they forgive, you talk about strength. You talk about courage. You talk about, it is, and I've seen the fruit of the lives of individuals who have learned to walk in forgiveness. I've seen it. Come on, one example that we have is Jesus Christ on the cross being hung between heaven and earth. He has been beat upon. He has been spit upon. He has had nails driven through him. And yet he looks down and says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now he didn't say what they did. Yes, he was right. They're doing right now. You see, because true forgiveness is not weakness. It's being able to look in the middle of what is being going on and saying, I forgive them in the middle of it. That's strength. That's incredible strength. Secondly, okay, forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not that you just erase it from your mind. It's not that you just like, it's over. No longer. I had somebody, a preacher say, I overheard him say one time, said like, if you cannot forget, I'm totally forget it, then you still haven't forgiven. I disagree with that. Okay? Now, and they use the scripture that says, where God says, in the scripture, it says that God no longer remembers our sins. He's cast them as far as east is from the west. Okay? And if you take that in a literal sense, yes, maybe you can read that into it. But from what we see in the scripture, even when God forgave sins, but yet he would recall certain things as far as talking about what happened, is that God doesn't, and most theologians believe, it's not that God forgets. He never remembers. The difference is when he talks about that, he does not hold it against us. The debt has been canceled. Okay? He doesn't remind us to bring guilt and shame on us anymore. That has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're forgiven. So when we forgive others, it's not that we forget it and it's erased from our brain. No. You still may remember, but you've learned to cancel the debt. There's no obligation they have to you. They cannot restore what has been lost or the pain that has been given or the words that have been said. That cannot give back. They cannot do that. They cannot restore that. And you realize that, so you have erased the debt and you still love anyway. Forgetting. It's not forgetting. Another one. It's not feeling, okay? Sometimes I think we think is if we forgive, we're no longer going to feel. Anybody ever thought that? I struggle with this sometimes because I want to stop feeling the moment. So when you hear their name, okay, when you see that place, something triggers something in your brain, all of a sudden you go back to those feelings, and you have those feelings about that person, that situation again, and you deal with that. Come on, that's not what the scripture's speaking of. Okay? That's not what, forgive, you're going to feel things. We're just people of feelings, but we don't live by our feelings. We act in faith. Now, here's the thing. Just whenever we were starting North Church, there was a statement that was made to me by someone that I cared about, okay? And this was an individual making a statement, and I think they meant well, but it hurt me deeply. And I remember I used to boast in myself, okay, that you can do, say anything you want, doesn't bother me. And I still feel like that. I'm pretty thick-skinned, okay? Things don't bother me. I mean, I just kind of, and I used to really pride myself in that. And it is amazing how that one statement stayed with me for about 4 years. I would wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that person and thinking about the exact words in the moment. I'd be standing over a putt. Hadn't been thinking, nothing's been said about the person, anything. And all of a sudden, as I begin to putt back, it just comes to my mind. This scenario, the situation. For 4 years, I was tormented by something that really they probably didn't think was a big deal. Other people probably wouldn't have thought it was a big deal. But it haunted me, and I had issues inside of me. Now, was I unforgiving to that person? No, I forgave them, and I gave it for over and over and over again. But I still struggled with my feelings. I still struggled with remembering. I still struggled, and I can't tell you when exactly it happened, but at some point there was a transition where I began to, and now, and then over the last many, many years, I can have great relationship, I can sit down and talk, I can be with, and that does not bother me. There's not an issue anymore, but I really feel like God took that even small thing to show me that really it's not about me, it's about the grace and the mercy of God. Which brings me to this. What forgiveness is. Okay? What is forgiveness? It is an act of faith. It is an act of faith. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. You still do the right thing in the right way. You still make the right choices. No matter what the feelings are going on, no matter what the memory is, no matter, you still got to choose to act in faith. Okay? And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means that you got this thing out there you want, but it's not tangible. You haven't laid hold of it, but it is there for your receiving. You just got to continue to walk in obedience to God. You got to walk in obedience to God. You say, God, it's yours. I give this situation. I give it all to you. Secondly is this. Forgiveness is acknowledging your own need for forgiveness. This is key to note, because you need forgiveness just like the person who hurt you. You need it. There is a self-righteousness in all of us that wants to elevate other people's injustice against us and elevate ourselves to somebody else, and we compare. That's not how it works. That's called a righteous, self-righteous spirit that's not going to take you anywhere other than you're carrying a load that you cannot carry. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because if you try to carry this yourself, you're not going to make it. All of us need forgiveness. And we've got to acknowledge. I've had people that I know have lived good lives and yet had grievous sins brought upon them by somebody else, pain upon them by somebody else. And they look and say, I forgive them. They made the statement, said, I'm no better than them. And I want to compare. And I want to say, oh, yes, you are better than them. I know what they did to you. And I know how you've lived your life. But what that speaks to me, it speaks to the reality of where they've come in Christ Jesus and their relationship and understanding that the truth of the matter is that they can't compare the sins of their sins against somebody else. Yes, the sins, the consequences of sins are more by certain choices, but sin is sin. And they understand that we've all fallen short of the glory of God and that all of us need the grace and the mercy of God and that God is forgiving us who were who are destined for eternal damnation. But yet God gave his son, the one perfect sacrifice, to die on the cross so that we could have everlasting life. And who am I to withhold unforgiveness to someone who is in need of forgiveness after what God has done for me? I need to forgive. I must forgive. Forgiveness. I think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7. He says, judge not, lest you be judged. For with the measure you judged, it will be judged back to you. And then he goes into the story talking about individuals who are able to spot the speck of sawdust in someone else's eyeball, but yet they've got a telephone pole coming out of their eyeball. Are you with me? Now, it's easy for us to see other people that are doing that. Look at you. You're not going to, me, you. But sometimes I have been that. Sometimes you have been that person that has had the telephone pole coming out while you're spotting somebody else's sawdust. Be careful. The last thing is this, is that forgiveness is freedom from your past. Forgiveness is freedom from your past. It is literally to cut the cord. That's what that means. It is to separate. Now, if I take and I tie something to my waist and I drag it around and I keep adding to whatever I'm dragging around, that's unforgiveness. But the moment I cut the cord and leave that, I can move forward in life. Now, does that mean nothing happened? No, I can still go back and say that was a time that pain and suffering happened in my life. For some, it may be your own choices that you need to forgive yourself. I talk to individuals all the time, and man, they've forgiven their spouse. They've forgiven their parents. They've forgiven other people, coworkers or friends. They've forgiven God. They can't forgive themselves. You become your worst enemy of allowing the shame. And you keep walking in this Mephibosheth moment. You begin to keep thinking like, I'm not good enough. I'm not. When you begin to think those words, because all of us do, there's times I feel like I don't deserve this. Now, I realize that that is scriptural to some degree. I don't deserve it. But God's grace, through God's promises, through God's goodness, I deserve something better than pain and suffering. And I deserve forgiveness for Christ's sake that God has given me and given you. Woo! This is good. I want us to look at two more verses at the end of this chapter. Look at verse number 9. Notice what it says. Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, I have given your master's grandson, who is Mephibosheth, everything that belonged to Saul and his family. Everything. Go to the next verse. And Mephibosheth, we skipped a few there, was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem, and ate regularly at the king's table. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. You know what David is saying? The past is over. I'm going to restore to you. Hear me. When you walk in forgiveness, God's objective is to restore. Restore to you. Now, does that mean he can bring back your past marriage and divorce? That's not, he can restore what the cankerworm has destroyed. He can put back the joy and the health in a relationship. He can restore. Can he erase what your choices you made or somebody else has made? No, that's not it. But he can restore back. He can bring back peace, love, joy, patience. He can give you those things that this world can't give. And that comes through the grace and the mercy of God. And notice this, Mephibosheth came to the king's table every day. He was in the palace every day. And he sat up under the king's table, which represents so much. You see, under the king's table, it covered his crippledness. It covered his lameness. It covered his inability. And you see, when you pull up at the master's table and you sit at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords table every day, and you walk in forgiveness, he only restores everything, but he also covers your crippleness. He covers your hurt. He covers your pain. And he gives you grace. And he gives you mercy. And he gives you the ability to be able to enjoy the finer things of life, which is all represented in this story. I want it. That means I've got to receive forgiveness, but I've also got to forgive forgiveness.